This episode of Football 301, Sheil Kapadia from The Ringer joins me to make a wish list. Make a wish list for teams that are eliminated from the playoffs. We look, at first it was supposed to be 10 teams, but we look at every team and one or more items that they should be asking for, not just for Christmas, but for this offseason. Head coaches, coordinators, quarterbacks, auxiliary players, everything in between. The wish list gets deep. Ton of fun with Sheil. See you guys in a sec. Hello and welcome back to Football 301. I'm your host, Nate Tice. Very, very fun show for you today. We're going to talk about some teams that have been eliminated from the playoffs and a little Christmas wish list since it is Christmas week. It's the holiday season. I'm joined by a very, very special guest on a very, very special show and a very, very special time of the year. The Ringer's own, Sheil Kapadia. Sheil, so great to see you. I'm so happy I finally can bring you to my house, to the Football 301 house, after you've had me as a guest on the Ringer NFL show. But Sheil, great to see you. How are you doing today?
That's right. It's not like a home and home. I think it's like a home, 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 and then home, you know, because you, yeah, it's like one of those lopsided college things where like I make you come to my stadium 3 years in a row and then I'll give you one. So yes, good to be here. Now I don't have to feel guilty next time I ask you to come on.
You are Penn State and I'm Temple. That's how this is working right here. Yeah. Speaking of which, have you watched any Temple football this year? Sorry.
Okay. Do they have some prospects?
Their OC is pretty cool. He came from Montana State. So I was curious because I know you're, you know, Philly sports kind of your thing. Yeah. So I was curious. Yeah. He came from Montana State. He does some cool stuff. So I was curious if he kind of caught your eye at all. But yeah, I know college, you know, it's your grab bag once the draft season comes along. But what is your grab bag all season, all year, is the NFL. And we focus a lot on teams that are contenders, make the playoffs, power rankings. One thing you need to know about playoff teams, I wanted to focus on the teams that are eliminated. And that's why I wanted you on the show, Sheil, because I feel like this scratches your brain. This is an itch in your brain that you like to scratch. Just talk about maybe some of the doldrum teams and some of the intricacies of some of the bad teams. So that's why I wanted you to come on here. There are 14 eliminated teams so far. And in case you didn't know, in case you're on a winning team and you're like, yeah, let's look at all these peons. You're a fan of the winning teams. The teams are the Chiefs, the Dolphins, the Bengals, the Jets, the Titans, the Browns, the Raiders, the Saints, the Commanders, the Vikings, the Cowboys, the Falcons, the Cardinals, and the Giants. Thank you, Stone, for getting me a nice little tidy list to look at. I sent that list over to you, Sheil. We each picked about four or five teams that we want to talk about and the one wish list item for these teams in the offseason. So not exactly sure maybe your MO for this or exactly your brainwave on this. So I'm very curious, but maybe just a little hint of how you kind of what your angle was with these teams.
Yeah, first of all, Nate, this is the most ambitious like podcast idea for a holiday week in the space. I was like, man, this guy, you know, most people are slowing down now. No. We just did like, you know, something much more minor. Nate's like, let's get it. I'm like, let's do it. You know, I've already thought about some of these. I need to think about them more. You know, I wouldn't say mine was necessarily like wish list or gift. Mine was, hey, maybe this is something that this team should actually consider to get their franchise going in the right direction. So I might be trading guys away. I might be hiring an out-of-the-box head coach for some of them. And then some of them might be a little bit minor. Just like you might just need a little tweak. I might think you're a really good team and we just need to change something. So I think a couple of the takes, I'm very curious to hear your reaction on. I was like, is this too spicy for a holiday week show? And I said, no, you know, who knows? Like you only live once. Let's go for it.
And sometimes you need a little extra eggnog, you know, adult eggnog, you know, that's sometimes you need that in the Christmas season. So let's start with your first one. I know mine, I try not to devolve in too much like needs a quarterback. So I try to, even the ones that I did with those teams, I try to expand upon it. So I can't help myself. I feel like I've done shows with you. We've done shows together. If there's a betting line on how long our pods go together, it's always the over. It's like me and Dane Brugler last week, another former coworker of ours.
Yeah.
But let's start with your first one, Sheil. I'm very excited to hear this because you sent me over the teams, but we'll just keep it as a surprise as we go along.
Okay. One of the teams I picked with the Cleveland Browns. Why don't we start there? So I was looking at the Cleveland Browns and I said, they've got a couple options. You could maybe talk yourself into, hey, this defense is really good. Try to upgrade the offense and maybe you'll be a competitive team next year. But then I was like, is that actually realistic? Because as we know, defense good one year doesn't mean defense is going to be good the next year. They might have a head coaching change. Now you lose Jim Schwartz potentially. Is the defense really going to be that good? And where does that really get you? You're not going to compete with the big boys in the AFC. So my one move, Nate, for the Browns this offseason is to trade Myles Garrett. I know it's crazy. I know there's the contract stuff that can be worked out. We'll work on that. But here's my thought here. Okay. We have seen big time trades for defensive players in the last year. Micah Parsons, Sauce Gardner, Quinnen Williams. There is an appetite. There is a market for these types of players. Teams are willing to give up big draft capital. Myles Garrett is coming off probably one of the best defensive seasons we've seen in recent memory. The guy has 22 sacks. And I know you don't want to trade Myles Garrett. I don't want to trade Myles Garrett. He's going to be 31 years old next year. What can you get? Can you get more than what Micah Parsons got? Because he's already under contract. Is it 2 first-round picks? Is it 3 first-round picks? If you really go into the offseason and say, hey, all 31 other teams, Myles Garrett's available. He will go to the team that gives us the best offer. Maybe you get 3 first-round picks. And now all of a sudden you go into next draft with 3 first-round picks because you have the one from the Jaguars last year. You go into 2027 with 2. You go into 2028 with 2 first-round picks. And this roster sucks. I mean, you look at it specifically on the offensive side of the ball. There's like no players. I'm like, oh, they have a fun tight end. That you don't build, you can't build a team around a fun tight end. So that helps you take a shot on a quarterback at other stuff. So am I crazy for being the guy who suggests a Myles Garrett trade?
No, I don't. Because I think what you kind of left that as is by the time that this roster, if they nail everything, nail a quarterback, nail, I think, 3 offensive line starters, nail another pass catcher because they need another receiver, nail a couple of back end guys, in the defensive back room. That's still a lot of needs. And not just like need someone that's okay. They need like guys that actually move the needle a little bit. So you need picks to do that and you need money to do that. And free agency, you maybe get one of those, maybe 2 of those if you're lucky. Like the Patriots have gotten a couple guys this offseason, the free agency wise. But I'm with you that they need draft capital. They need a full, this is still a hard rebuild team. And I think once the offensive line gets turned over, they're all in their 30s. All their contracts are coming up like that. Like you need picks, you need ways to get and rebuild this all the way. And so I'm right there with you. And I was looking at star edges, maybe get traded, or star pass rushers, maybe get traded more than other positions. And maybe that's just anecdotal. Khalil Mack trade, the Von Miller trade to the Rams. Von Miller was 32 when he was traded midseason to the Rams on that Super Bowl run. And that's the thing with the Myles Garrett thing. This might be one of the best defensive player seasons I've seen in my lifetime, as far as not just the pass rushing, but how he's playing against the run, the effort. This is what you got. You know, one of the best, I just leave it at that. One of the best defensive player seasons you'll ever watch, and they can barely win a game because they need so much rest on the rest of this team. I'm not totally opposed to this. I was looking up his contract to see how movable it is. Have you looked?
It doesn't look movable on paper, but let's say you do a restructure and no, I really want to go to this. Yes, you would have to do some gymnastics. I always look at those things and I'm like, all right, if the player wants
there's
to be
a will,
dealt.
There's a way.
Yeah, you can redo any contract in the NFL. So yeah, it doesn't look movable right now, but it's not fun because if you're a Browns fan, you're like, this is the one thing we have going for us. But this is what happens when you make the worst trade in NFL history and sign the worst contract in NFL history. There's no like easy, hey, let's just, tweak a thing here and there and get back into contention. Like you're digging yourself out of one of the biggest holes we've ever seen. And so you might have to take a drastic measure.
No, I'm all about this way more than I would have maybe thought, but I've kind of had some, the Browns are just so curious to me. I know what grabs the headlines is the Shadur stuff, but just the entire franchise makeup is curious. They nailed this draft class. You mentioned Fannin, but Carson Schwechinger might be defensive player of the year or rookie of the year. Quinshon Judkins is hurt now, broke his leg, should come back though. But he was having a strong rookie year. They had some, and Mason Graham has been a nice player, kind of came along. He's kind of a unique player in how he has to be utilized and everything, but he is a good starter at the very least. And I just, but that doesn't matter. We're talking about the defensive guys. Oh, Schwechinger, another defensive guy. Mason Graham, another defensive guy. Running back. You mentioned Hit Fannin, tight end, who is a good player.
Yeah.
Doesn't help the offense. Yeah. It still needs so, so much. And then just looking at this draft class, we'll talk about the quarterback class a bunch because I have a couple teams that are quarterback needy. There's only a couple guys like in this draft class, but getting enough, like you said, you broke down the ammunition for 2027 and beyond. Is by the time you even get this all right, say Myles Garrett stays on the roster and you do nail next year's draft and you nail the draft after that, he's what, 34? By right. the time you're contending in theory, if you nail everything, yeah. I don't know. The timelines just don't timeline. You know, the yeah. math doesn't matter. The timelines don't timeline to me. Yeah. So I think this is a great idea.
Yeah. You've been on like the O-line for like over a year. I remember you like tweeting it out last year. Like, look,
I tweeted out about 4 months.
And I'm like, yeah, this is crazy. They're going to go into next year with two Nothing. Offensive linemen. So yeah, that and just that in and of itself. I mean, you said one wide receiver. You could certainly use more than that as well. So yeah, there's just, it's not one of these where even if you get that mid-tier starting quarterback type thing, I still feel right. like you're in a really bad spot. It's not going to be a good situation for that guy.
Yeah. And and who knows how this draft class breaks out. It's a race to the top two right now, or a bottoming to the top two picks right now. So yeah, we'll see how that kind of breaks down with all the quarterback stuff. Oh, I still think they traded for Kenny Pickett, and you've seen Walk Hard, right? You know, the wrong kid died. Have you ever seen that movie? Walk Hard, no. Chauncey Riley. Okay. No. You like it. You like it. But there's a running bit about the wrong kid died. The wrong son died. Okay. And the Browns traded for Kenny Pickett. And this entire time I've been like, they traded for the wrong Eagles quarterback. It was Tanner McKee. And if they traded for Tanner McKee before all of his stock just went up and up and up, maybe could have gone for a third rounder, which I do not think you could do now. I think it's way more than that. It's just that I thought that could have been the easiest way to take a stab at a quarterback and meet a young quarterback, have a nice contract and all that stuff with potential and everything. But sorry, I know you're tied in with the Eagles and how much you cover them. That's always been the guy to me. That was kind of the first mistake that kind of went down a long road. Maybe the Eagles said, piss off. So, you know,
that's what I wonder if they called about Tanner McKee and it was like, no, but you can have Kenny Pickett for nothing. Like type, because Tanner McKee is always just such a hard compensation deal where it's like, the Eagles are like, why would we give him up? And other teams are like, we're not going to give you that for a guy who's barely played. So it's just it seems like it's been a hard deal to make, but I'm with you. I'm on the Tanner McKee bandwagon with you.
Okay. I know. Tanner McKee has me looking up Matt Schaub trades and Kevin Cobb trades. Schaub went for 2 seconds and then the team swapped first. So it's like, okay, some collateral like that. But all right, I'll move on to my first one. Enough Browns, but I am curious what happens with the Browns. I'm going to start with a team that has been in contention, kind of the opposite of the Browns for a long time. That's the Kansas City Chiefs. And just one of the most frustrating things I've watched in recent times, because I do think that there were some qualities on this offense and some qualities of what was going on, but it's still not enough. And I do think it has gone to a frustrating point. And so my kind of point, or like wish list, however you want to put it, get back into contention for the Chiefs, new ideas, need a pass rusher on defense, new ideas on offense, I should say, and new body types for pass catchers. So this is just something, I'll start with the new ideas. You can find my rant on this maybe from September with Matt Harmon, and I want to continue. And then I kind of deviated. I went on your show and I was like, hey, the Chiefs might be the number one seed in the AFC. But I still don't feel bad about that take, because I was like, hey, they're not as bad as that they ended up. They have a positive point differential. Their underlying numbers are actually pretty dang good. It's just that they need new ideas in this coaching room on offense. It's always going to be Andy Reid's show. It always is. But it's just that, say, like Matt Nagy might be the perfect example. He goes away, he comes right back. They have a lot of guys that they promoted from within. There's not just a lot of new ideas. And I know this is always going to have an Andy Reid tint to this offense and skew that way, but they just need something to kind of change up how they structure things. Enough of the bogus red zone designs, enough of the split backs and short yardage. It's just stuff that's become predictable. It was exotic and now it's predictable. And even just the team makeup. So this might be more about the GM, who, again, Andy Reid, has a lot of say in this, is their pass catchers have gotten smaller and slower. And you can do one, but you can't do both. And I think that's where you really feel it in this team. I think Rashee Rice is quite good. I'm still pretty bullish on what he will become. if he just gets his kind of his head out of his ass. But the I looked on Next Gen Stats. All right, pass catchers, so just receivers and tight ends. In 2019, kind of the peak of this Chiefs team, you know, 18-19, their pass catchers, receivers and tight ends that played 200 more snaps were listed at 215.7 pounds. That was their average. This year, 205 pounds. 10-pound difference. And you can just look at little differences. Travis Kelce is listed at 250 in both years, which is, I don't know about now. But the number two tight end with Travis Kelce used to be Blake Bell. Blake Bell, the belldozer, physical, blocker, you know, okay athlete on check down stuff. Now it's Noah Gray, who's more of a Swiss Army knife, glorified fullback, a true H-back tight end that they have as a blocking tight end. And he does all he can, but he's just limited in that role. He's 240. Blake Bell was 255. Okay. Big difference there. Tyreek Hill, 191. Sammy Watkins, 211. DeMarcus Robinson, 203. Mecole Hardman, 187. Those were the top receivers for this Chiefs team in 2019. 2025, Juju Smith-Schuster, Rashee Rice, Tyquan Thornton, Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy. Three of those receivers I listed weigh less than Mecole Hardman. Mecole Hardman was 187. He was the lightest receiver on the Chiefs roster. The Chiefs now have three that are lighter than Mecole Hardman. That is an issue because they're not fast enough. Like Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice is the fastest receiver. Or Tyquan Thornton, actually. But Rashee Rice actually is the most functional speed, I feel like, on this team. And if you just look at average speed, so this is receivers, tight ends, running backs, speeds as ball carriers. I had a lot of time on this, Shiel.
Yeah.
So, well, 2025, their average speed was 12.99. So let's call it 13 miles an hour average speed. In 2019, it was 13.65. Oh, that's because of Tyreek Hill. 2022, the first year without Tyreek Hill, 13.2. So they've gotten slower. They've gotten smaller. This year, the skill players for the Chiefs only had two plays where they reached 20 miles an hour or more with the ball in their hands. In 2019, they had 15. Well, that's because of Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill had six. The rest of the players had nine. So it wasn't just Tyreek Hill. It's the other guys, too. Yeah. In 2022, they had four plays that reached that. So they're just getting slower. In 2019, 35.7% of their plays, they reached 15 miles an hour or more, which is like good sprint speed. This year, it's 28.8%. It's dropped about 8%, over 7%. This, I feel this when I watch this Chiefs team. Like, I just watch it. No one's making a play. No one is winning in a contested catch situation. Everyone thinks you beat man coverage just with speed. You need size, like boxing out in basketball. Like, you need size and speed, functional athleticism. And I don't think they have a lot of functional athletes right now, the pass catchers. I have more, but that's what I just want to start with. Any thoughts on kind of the Chiefs and ideas, skill players, personnel, all this stuff around Mahomes?
Yeah, it's like you looked at the numbers and you were like, the offense is still performing at a top five level. And then you watched them and you're like, who do they have? You know, I always joked about I called it like the armpit test, that when the defensive coordinator is prepping for the game on like Monday and Tuesday, is he getting some perspiration under there? Because like, what am I going to do about this guy?
Oh, God. Yeah.
And against the Chiefs, it's like you get that with Mahomes, but everybody else, they're probably like, I'm not worried about these guys. I mean, when you were reeling off the size numbers, I've always felt that Andy Reid, the DeSean Jackson, he's just always looking for the next DeSean Jackson. And like, you're not, that might have just been a once in a 50 years type thing, Andy, where somebody can be that productive at that size and take the top off a defense. And you watch them and then you watch these other offenses and you're just like, they're too easy to defend. And that can change if Andy Reid's doing creative stuff and is at the peak of his powers, which I'm kind of with you. I don't think he is right now. That can change if Mahomes turns into Superman, which he does on some plays, some weeks, some possessions, a lot of plays, but you don't need to live that way. Like, you actually don't need to live that way. Like, you can break that out when you need it. So I'm with you. I just look at it. And there was a point this season where I'm like, is this a talented team? Like, who are the great players on this team? If you just compared roster spots, like 2 to 53 compared to every other team. And I'm with you. I think they can compete next year if Mahomes is healthy. That's always going to be the case. But still, there's a lot of work to be done, and specifically to in the direction you're pointing to.
Yeah, and I want to save this because this is going to be another one of my teams. But looking at this free agent receiver class, really interesting about maybe who the Chiefs could target as far as guys that I actually think would be perfect for him. Romeo Doubs, Alec Pierce would be the ideal fit.
Ooh,
size and speed and all that. I know he might – I mean, watching last night, he might be going for 25 million a year. Yeah. But those are the guys. And I look in the offensive line to me when it was fully healthy and Josh Simmons, you know, he had some off field stuff this year, but when it was fully healthy and fully functional, this is a top five offensive line. I would say top eight at worst. And now on Next Gen Stats, I can look at, you can look at O-line combinations. It's kind of addicting if you ask me. But if you looked at what was supposed to be their front five, it was Josh Simmons, Kingsley Suamataia, who I think had a really good year and a very encouraging year. Creed Humphrey, one of the best centers in the game. Trey Smith, a very good guard who also battled some injuries. Juwan Taylor, right tackle. Then when those five were out there, among offensive line combos that played 300 more snaps, which is a good chunk, they allowed a pressure rate of 24.5%. It was fourth best among starting top five O-line combos. When any of those guys were out, any other O-line combo for the Chiefs, it dropped to 33% pressure rate, which is about middle of the pack. So top five to middle of the pack. Yards per carry, 4.9 yards per carry when the O-line combo was out there, 4.2 when they weren't out there. And I think their run game is good. They need juice at running back. Like, they need juice. That's the best way I can put it. They need juice at skill players. Because I think the O-line is, if Jalen Moore, if they do something with Juwan Taylor and Jalen Moore takes right tackle, and if you have Trey Smith, maybe you get one more guy to kind of be your backup, the O-line could be legitimately very good next year. And Mahomes, I know, is very good. They have enough. Like, Rashee Rice is a good pass catcher, I still think. They just need more. They just need another guy, and I think that'll help break it, kind of just pop things open again for this offense. It's just this team. And the defense needs an ace, too. Chris Jones is Chris Jones, but you just said, who are the needle movers on this team? On defense, it's like, Carl Loftus is fine, solid. They have some cool DBs, you know, Trent McDuffie. All right. You know, and then it's a lot of kind of just guys that are 78 overall, 80 overall in Madden.
I think I'm with you. When you talk it out, I could also just make the case they had the year from hell and they lost a bunch of one score games. Yeah. And they actually, and that idea is that I do think is indicative of the floor of the team. But when you're talking about the ceiling, it feels like get a wide receiver, add some juice at running back, become harder to defend. I'm with you on the offensive line. You kind of fix that, which is a nice job by them. And then defense, I'm always like, to me, for them, that's kind of secondary. Like, all right, yeah, add some pass rush if you can, but you're just going to probably be counting on Spags to figure it out with some fifth-round picks at some point, which, you're going to have to, which is a fine way to live. They've had a lot of success with that.
You just have to be average on defense, because then Spags can be Spags. That's how I always look at their defense. It's like, just don't be awful. Just 18th or better in DVOA, and they're fine. You know, that's how I look at them. This year, they would have been fine, I think. What is your next team that is not contending out of the playoffs that you wanted to talk about, Sheil?
We go to Dallas, and I've got the Cowboys. And I actually don't know that this one's that hard. I just had... find a new defensive coordinator. Now, it's not just that, but I think that's like the start. Like, you need someone who can do more with less, who's like, I might not have the most talented group, but don't worry. To your point, we're going to reach mediocrity. We're going to be competent. We're not going to be giving up 35, 40 points. We're going to give the offense a chance to succeed here. So in addition to obviously adding personnel, it would be great to add better players there, but I do think coordinator is where they're going to start. And I know for as much as you've probably talked about Jerry Jones and Micah Parsons, as much as I've talked about Jerry Jones and Micah Parsons, as much as every morning talk show has talked about it, as I was preparing for this, I'm like, I still don't think they've taken enough heat. Because if you look at this season, honestly, it's like
not
they have
the
a
hook.
I'm not done talking about it. Okay. I'm still coming back. They have
Our social team's like, offense. Yes.
They have a top five offense. They've had a great Dak Prescott season.
Yes.
The George Pickens thing worked out. I think the Brian Schottenheimer thing, for as much as I probably made fun of it at the time, I think that worked out.
I'm and all bored.
Because of the Micah Parsons mismanagement, they're not in the playoffs in a year where it's wide open in the postseason, where if their defense was just like the 20th best defense, we might be having a conversation that, man, I know they haven't done it in previous years, but with the Pickens addition, with CeeDee Lamb healthy, with the O-line, with the run game, with the way Dak's playing against like these really hard defensive offensive coordinators, they really have a chance. And they like threw that away, not just because they wanted to trade Micah Parsons, but because of the timing. Like if they would have done it in the spring, now maybe you're adding players and draft capital and your defense isn't as bad. If you waited till the trade deadline, at least you would have had Micah Parsons for the first, like whatever, 8 weeks of the season. That would have made a big difference. It really would have. And so again, I know we've all talked about this for hundreds of hours probably at this point, but I would just be like so furious if I were a Cowboys fan that you wasted this season. And if I were like Dak Prescott, I know the money's nice and you know, you get an early vacation, but if you care, you're probably like, man, I can't believe that we just wasted, like everything was clicking for us offensively this season and we wasted it. So anyway, they can't bring that back. I can't get them a time machine to change that. But yeah, get that defense back on track. And I think they have a chance to be really competitive next year.
They could really be like a Peyton Manning Colts kind of team, you know, as far as just supernova offense, top five offense, lock it in. They're trying to score 30 every game and just have to have that opportunistic defense that they had. Of course, there's the Bob Sanders year. But really, what the key was to the Colts was playing with leads, playing a bunch of cover two with Tony Dungy, and then Dwight Freeney, you know, and then like, okay, he can tee off on a pass, you know, all these quarterbacks have to drop back now because they're trying to keep up with Peyton. That's not, I think the Cowboys can run the ball too, because they nailed the Clayton Adams signing too, bringing him over as the run game guy. It's just that it's frustrating because what you say about like Eberflus too, I got another question on this with Eberflus is that his defense is very simple, very safe, very like, hey, we're going to make quarterbacks be methodical, make them make good decisions over and over. You need dudes though. That's the thing. If you play that way and guys don't make plays for you, you just get gashed because quarterbacks aren't threatened at all. I'm like, all right, quarters, boom, I go here. Cover two. All right, I go. It's just very simplistic. And you need to play that way, but you need guys that can win up front and you need guys that can just make plays on the back end. And they don't have that. Do you have any, this was the question I have there. Do you have any names in your head for defensive coordinator? I know I haven't really gotten up on my kind of coaches to watch yet. You know,
it's one of those where you're thinking about teams that are firing their head coaches or have already fired their head coaches who are the defensive coordinators. Now, I've always been a big Jim Schwartz fan. Now he kind of plays the way you're sort of describing with the, you know, he's not the one who's like, I'm coming in with creative stuff, but I do feel like he's seen enough and he has a track record where the floor is almost never, I think he's had like one season where the floor is really low.
It's only 16th at worst, you know?
He raises the floor. Yeah. He plays a certain way. You might want to go in a different direction if you're like, we want someone who's more creative and ahead of the curve, but you know, that's a bigger risk. If you're Jim Schwartz, I'm like, I feel good that these guys are going to know what they're doing. I don't have to have the most talented unit and we're going to be solid here. So I think he's a name I thought of maybe for one of these other teams, but I think he should have a market. I mean, he's done a great job in Cleveland the last few years.
Yeah. Jerry Jones likes the former head coach at coordinator spot. Like he's a sucker for that. So that's probably why Eberflus kind of, you got to remember Zimmer was the guy before that. Dan Quinn was the guy before that. Scott Linehan was an OC here. Bill Callahan had play calling duties. Like they just like having all these guys that have that, at least one of the coordinator spots. You know, Kellen Moore obviously was one of those guys, but just kind of how that makeup was. That's a long story. But no, that's what Jerry Jones likes, having former head coaches on the staff. And he kind of just has a eye for that. So I think that's where they go for a guy that's a former prestige coach, I guess is a good way to put it, as opposed to young whippersnapper from college or something of that sort. Because I mean, I'm even just trying to think like who are interesting names I would go after. Maybe a Rams assistant because they do some cool stuff. Maybe a Seahawks assistant because they do some cool stuff. But then again, it's like now you're really taking a leap of faith. And then I don't know. Jerry likes comfort in some ways, you know, like he likes just having, he likes the kind of the narrative sell of everything. I know I'm really breaking new ground with that comment, but it just kind of like, he feels like he likes that going, known commodities. Maybe that's the best way I can put it. Like he kind of likes knowing that before he makes these hires, especially kind of key assistants and everything.
What would you do with Pickens? Where, because I know it's like a very tricky situation. I feel like, what'd you say?
Bring him back. It's not the Bengals to me because they already have an offensive line to me where it's like, oh, why are you guys doing this? I think they have a makeup for it, but I'd prioritize defensive signings and everything before I get to Pickens. But I mean, getting Pickens out there, this is Dak loves an X. And that's why, and he has the perfect synergy. CD and Pickens have the perfect synergy at receiver. You have a flanker that can move into the slot in CD, and Pickens, who's a true ISO X. You don't get that much. A true ISO X is really hard to find. You can maybe in this draft Denzel Boston from the Washington, but like it's really hard to find that type of guy. And Dak likes that type of guy. Like Michael Gallup was the guy before that. He really liked that kind of archetype of a player. Having said that, I really, really, really like Ryan Flournoy, their second year guy from the small school. I think he's got a chance. He's older already. His background's really interesting. He's got some real juice to him. I don't know if he is an X or what he is, but maybe they say, hey, he's shown enough and we can move on from Pickens. We'll see. But my first kind of like gun to head is like bring Pickens back, because also I just dig this offense and it's so much fun to watch.
Yeah. I don't want it to change. The on-field fit's been perfect. It's like, don't change anything. But then I do have the worry about like, was this a 1 year thing? It wouldn't shock anybody if you sign him to a big deal and all of a sudden you're like, that was a disaster. You know what is going on with that? That's not going to surprise anyone, but maybe it's just a chance you have to take.
It's both. I can make an argument for either answer. And I think that's, which is not like most situations. Like I can make an argument why you want to bring him back, and I can make an argument why you want. You also have Jake Ferguson, who's a nice kind of, you can be a top three pass catcher. Like they have enough to where it's not like, oh my God, we just gave up our number one. The sky's falling. It's like, no. We have CD. We have a deal with those guys. Yeah. I don't know. Right. I've been trying to figure it out on my own end, whether I like it. As long as you invest in the trenches, I'm good. Like and that's the one quality Jerry has. He'll always invest in offensive linemen. And all the peaks of the Cowboys in the last three decades, it's when they invest in O-line. So, and I think they'll just kind of continue to do that, which they have. So,
yeah.
Cowboys. God, I'm telling you, social just loves you right now. But we're going to take our first quick break. Before we get to that break, I want you to say, check us out on the Yahoo Sports Network, available to stream on leading fast services or on yahoosports.tv. Got some indoor football coming up. I'll be on there. So I can't wait for that. But we're going to take our first break, come back with a few more wish list items for teams eliminated from the playoffs. See you guys in a sec. All right, we are back. We'll get to one of my wish list items for these teams. I'm going to go with the Titans. Tennessee Titans. Someone's got to talk about them. Might as well be me. Cam Ward, worth building around. I will say that. I've written about him. If you want to check it out on Yahoo Sports, studied him. It's not all perfect. Stats aren't all perfect. But having said all that, it's like he has the qualities you want to see of a quarterback you build around. And how I phrase it, I'm not going to go until he's going to be top five. He's going to be this. But he's a guy that you give a second contract to. That's kind of how the way I've been phrasing it and actually give a second contract to, not the funny money. Well, yeah, we gave him this much, but like an actual real contract and everything. But this team needs, and I don't think anyone's watched the Titans can understand this. They need pass catchers. They need a receiver with pedigree. And I actually think they're set up to get one of those, whether the draft or free agency or a double dip. I'll start first off with what Cam Ward has been working with this year. The O-line's actually okay, I'll say. They have some pieces. J.C. Latham's been disappointing this year. Dan Moore's whatever. But Pierce Garonski's had a real nice year. Zeitler at right guard. So line-wise, you can get through another year until you have to kind of like focus on that. But pass catchers. There have been 9 rookie receivers and tight ends this year that are drafted on day 3 or undrafted that have run 200 or more routes. The Titans have 3 of them. 9 in the entire NFL, and the Titans have 3 of them. Since 2011, only one other team has had that. The 2017 49ers, when they had George Kittle, which I understand why he got reps. Kendrick Bourne, also understand why he got reps. And Trent Taylor. I don't want to slander Trent Taylor, but that 49ers team was horrid, if anyone remembers it. That was a very bad team. It was encouraging how hard they were playing and the bones that they made up for, but down the road is when they kind of boosted up. There's franchises that haven't had 3 of these total since 2011, since the new CBA. Texans have only had 1. The Vikings only had 2. The Rams only had Puka Nacua. And the Eagles have only had 1. It's like the Ravens only had 2. It's like the good franchises don't usually focus on day 3 pass catchers to build out their receiver room. Again, this team had Calvin Ridley, but he was super disappointing. But if you look at this offseason receiver class, whether it's free agency or the draft, I have 4 guys with first-round grades, and I would say there's 3 more that will probably make my top 50. But if you look at first round, Jordan Tyson from Arizona State, Carnell Tate from Ohio State, Denzel Boston from Washington, and Mekhi Lemon from USC. To me, those top 3 guys, I think any of those three, great. If they end up with one of those three guys, I'd be like, yep, way to go, Titans. That's what you guys need. Those guys have juice. They could be a number one. They could just be a true, true player for this team. Now, free agency class, Mike Evans, 32 years old, Juwan Jennings, George Pickens, like we just mentioned, Alec Pierce, Romeo Doubs. Jalen Naylor is not a number one, but I think he's a fine player. Jalen Coker is a free agent, but he's a restricted free agent. So I would see what kind of tag you putting on him, Carolina, just to see, because I really like Coker. They need one. I think they need a double dip, a free agent and one of these top receivers, and hopefully just keep losing. I know they beat the Chiefs. Maybe you get one of those top two picks and you can trade out of it because they need picks. And I'm not a big believer in a rebuilding team taking a receiver top 10. I think you take linemen top 10, you take trenches top 10, and then receivers you can take in the teens and the 20s. So trade back, get draft capital, take a receiver. That's what I hopefully is the perfect plan for them. Obviously, you got to nail head coach, you got to nail coordinator, got to nail all that stuff. But as far for me, you got to help out Cam Ward. I think the O-line has enough to get you through this year. I think you just need a pass catcher, just really add some juice to this game. So yeah, pass catchers for the Titans, which I think is an easy kind of path for them.
Yeah, there's no doubt. When you watch it, you're like, wait, who is Art? Who is lining up for the Titans at wide receiver? Where did, and then they're telling the story. They drafted this guy. Now, what do you think? Because as you were talking, I was like, what system, you know, you have studied Cam Ward. I have not, yeah, like, you know, done the deep dive. If you were just saying, and you can name a coach or don't name a coach, but just if it was like, hey, you can grab one of these schemes from anywhere in the NFL and say, I think this would give Cam Ward the best chance of success. Do you have like a sense for what that would be? Because the head coach hire is going to be huge and we don't know who's going to be available. And it's kind of like, you know, you look at some of the names and I don't know how you feel about it. I'm kind of like, oh, Jesus, yeah, this might not be the strongest class. Have you thought about that? What kind of scheme you would like to see him play in?
Yeah, he was an air raid guy in college. So it's hard for me to not like picture him in that type of offense where it's a lot of shotgun, spready, dink and dunk. But what's been encouraging to me is he can do a lot of under center stuff. And I think he's actually really good on like turning his back to the defense and throwing play action. So that kind of opens up what I think. And he's a great thrower on the move. So anyone from a Shanahan offense I would really like. I would say just guys that are, I mean, Mike McDaniel would be amazing, but I think he's staying in Miami. But like, yeah, that would be the guy that I would love. I know, and this is not a joke, and I know this is the name that's been floated out there. The Titans are cheap, by the way. So the coaches that they hire is going to be, they have to get creative or it's going to be a retread. I know Mike McCarthy has been floated. I would actually say that McCarthy-Rogers offense wouldn't be the worst for Cam Ward. Make quick decisions, get the ball out, do, and pepper it. I know that sounds so silly, but that's the type of offense I envision because it's more spready, a little bit more of a hybrid offense and everything. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard. Like the guy, I always am a sucker for a Bruce Arians offense, but no one's running that.
I know. And bring I think him back. And that I think would be fun. That feels like a nice match right there.
That's who would fit this because he is like, yeah, that's what I love about Cam Ward. He's got balls. Like he is willing to chuck that thing. And I keep comparing him to skateboarders like Ronnie Mullen because he's just very, he's so creative. everyone goes, what NFL player is like, no, he reminds me of a skateboarder.
This is one of my favorite things about you, just like who else is saying I compare him to a skateboarder, you know? This is why you gotta carve your niche, you know? Gotta be different than everybody else. This is your thing. I love it.
Well, that's why I like talking to you. You appreciate the cross sports comparisons, and I'm including extreme sports here. Yeah, Sean White is what he reminds me more of. Yeah, he's way more fundamentally sound than I think he gets credit for. And that was my study of him. It was that his timing, his progression and his eyes are actually like good. Like even for like, not just for a rookie, like he plays more like a second or third year guy. He can get a little too aggressive. He tries to make things happen sometimes, but that's a rookie. That's just limit testing. But that's why I think I'm just so encouraged. What he does is that I think the funky throwing style, everyone's like, oh, well, that's weird. Oh man, he's weird. It's like, no. His brain is very traditional. How he gets there is funky. And that's why I get the skateboarding comparisons. It's like, kind of like he does the fundamentals in a funky way. So I don't know. I've been kicking that around because you're not the first person to ask me that with Cam. And I've been trying to figure it out, but I think that's a quality that I'm saying that I think he can fit in a lot of different schemes.
Okay.
That can make him work. Yeah, I know. More than maybe I even thought in college. Yeah. Let's get to your next team. What do you got, Shiel? What's the next team with the wish list item?
This is one of those that you probably have this. You come up with a take and then you like soft launch it, maybe on a group chat or to a friend. And then maybe you sneak it into a segment, but you're not making a big thing out of it.
You're not posting on social media. You're not telling the producer, hey, clip that. Yeah.
Right. But then the more you think about it, you're like, you know what? I like it. I think I'm in on it. So I've got the New York Giants.
Okay.
And first of all due respect to Joe Shane, I just think this is a time for a clean break, you know? And I know there's been some reporting there that hold on now, just because they kept him and got rid of Daboll doesn't mean he's going to stay in the offseason. And it's just like, come on, guys. You've been like one of the worst franchises in the NFL for a decade. This hasn't worked. There's no evidence that he's done a good job. Just find a head coach and a GM who are aligned, tied at the hip, get them in a room. When you hire them, say, if one of you gets fired, you're both getting fired. I don't want to hear about it. It was this guy's fault. Clarify, this guy has final say. If you're not okay with it, do not come here. This person has final say, but you're going to work together. So that from just a organizational structure, if they don't do that and keep Shane and hire a head coach, it's just like, guys, how are you making this mistake again? So that's step number one. I've been looking at all these head coach lists. About, you know, you mentioned McCarthy and I'm looking at him and I'm going, I would not be excited about any of these. And I was watching Eagles Commanders last week and there was a guy on the broadcast and, you know, I initially thought, I bet Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman, if they keep a list somewhere about just, hey, next 5 years, 10 years, whatever, let's keep a list of guys we want to look at. I bet Greg Olsen is on that list. And so so at first I had that take. I said, Greg Olsen's going to be an Eagles head coach at some point in the next 20 years. And then I thought about it and I go, the Eagles aren't looking for a head coach this offseason. If I'm the New York Giants and I'm looking at Lou Anarumo and Clint Kubiak and Mike McCarthy, excuse me, why would I not? And I don't want to, you know, fall into the trap of this guy says a smart thing on TV and he's going to be a great head coach. But then I was thinking about it. He does say smart things, and I think he's forward thinking with analytics, with stuff about trends, where the league's going. I don't think you can really fake that. I don't think he's a phony with that. I think he's smart about it. He's leaned into it, I feel like, a lot this year, which is good. So he's got that. He's a former player. I mean, he's going to obviously get respect. He seems like he was a well-liked teammate. The leadership aspect, just the personality, standing in front of the room, that doesn't feel like it would be a hard thing for him to do. I know his dad was a big time high school coach in New Jersey, which I was doing my research on this morning. 30 minutes from MetLife Stadium is where he went to high school. His dad won like 8 state titles. And I'm looking at it going, why would he not be the first guy I call and interview for my head coach opening for the New York Giants? Local guy, former player, forward thinking, like you've just struck
wants
out
to coach.
Over and
he
over
coaches
again.
Right
loves
now.
To coach. He coaches. Yeah. He coaches kids. Maybe Luke Kuechly's your defensive coordinator. I don't know. Go
which
crazy.
I would be opposed about. Yeah,
which you wouldn't be opposed to. That actually seems kind of smart. Yeah. So that's going to be mine. Nate, we are firing Joe Shane, thanking him for his service. We are bringing Greg Olsen. He's number one on our list for head coach. If we like him, we're hiring him. We're saying, who should we bring in for GM? You literally go and meet with all these teams every week. Who's caught your attention? Who do you hear good things about? Let's bring them in for interviews. We're going to align them with you, and we're going to take a shot on this next stage of Giants football with Greg Olsen as our head coach. What do you think?
I'm co-opting this take. this is a wonderful take, because to me, the best coaching candidate is Marcus Freeman, who is a college coach, which is a huge risk. But I think just watching him the last couple of years as a coach, I just like self-awareness. Having said that, I understand the hairline and I understand them with the bowl game and everything. Those are I think that's not including what Freeman does as a coach. I think he's tried to be more analytical. I know just from who I talk to and everything, being smarter with fourth down decisions, stuff like that, trying to be aggressive, just trying to be on the cutting edge. And I appreciate that. I think he's very thoughtful. I think he's a great leader of men. But again, it's hard sometimes to go like, hey, guy that's never coached in the NFL, you're the NFL head coach. I have to nail assistants and everything. So that's the guy to me is the guy, because I mean, I'm with you. Who else are you looking at? Joe Brady, Cliff Kingsbury, Mike McCarthy?
Robert
Saleh, I think deserves a second chance. Jesse Minter, I think is really interesting, but that's not exciting me for the Giants. You know, like I would want a little bit more. from what this team wants to be. Didn't you have a tweet that they've lost, they have a worse win percentage than the Jets now?
Yeah, now it's, I think they're right above the Jets for the last 10 years. I think if you do 5 years, they might be worse. But yeah, the only team that's lost more games than the Jets over the last, or the only team that's lost more games than the Giants over the last 10 years. This isn't like a three-year thing. Yeah. This is a decade where they've tried and failed with one fluky Daniel Jones season in there. You know, other than that, like, they've been a disaster. And, you know, so maybe they opt for more stability, but they haven't been able to figure out head coach since Tom Coughlin left. Like, really? And it's just been a huge issue.
And your former player comment, and I know that's not the end all be all, but just even going off who they've hired recently, it's a lot of guys that maybe didn't have that experience. You know, McAdoo, Dable, Joe Judge. And also just Olsen just seems very thoughtful. You mentioned just not, you know, just the analytics stuff and everything, but just very thoughtful to coaching. You know, he tweets it out. There's interviews he's done. He did an interview series with the new San Francisco Giants manager who came from college from Tennessee. His name's blanking on me right now. But that was, I think, really interesting, just talking about development and player development and how to get into mindset of young people or young players. And I was like, oh, that's thoughtful to me. And those are the guys I would take chances on, like thoughtfulness, the guys that reflect on, like, is this right? I know like the guy I think that does it the best right now is Sean McVay, or one of the best, because he just always is self-scouting and reflecting where the league is going. And it's kind of cool to watch. I know some people get tired of us talking about it, but it's really cool. It's really cool to watch. I love this. Local connections, which the Maras would be all about. I do think they should fire Shane, and I don't know Joe Shane. I know I don't want anyone to get fired. I just think as far as franchise building, you want everybody on the same page. Otherwise you're going, because I think, I don't know who Jackson Dart's pick was. Everybody seems to be passing the buck now. If it was Dable's guy, it was Shane's guy, it was Dable. Shane's kids go to Ole Miss. That had to be part of it, like some connection there with Jackson Dart. That's the other thing too. So now we've floated on this show on Football 301. Charles and I floated, oh, they need a new quarterback this year already. And now you're saying, hey, let's go with Greg Olsen, that coach and everything. But I don't know. I think every possibility should be open to this team. And I think they should move on from GM, because I think if you limit yourself saying, no, you have to be attached to this GM and this quarterback, head coaches are just going to go, you know, some, I don't know. I maybe want to just go with a different guy here. So
yeah,
I know. I like this one. I really like this option.
I feel like people are going to think I'm Greg Olson's agent now, because I keep just like leaning more and more. I don't know Greg Olson. We don't share any. I'm just looking at it going, I'm looking at some of these other coaches and I'm like, there has to be, I'm with you on Marcus Freeman. Like, if you're going to take a swing, that seems like a worthy guy to, it might not work out, but you know what? I would rather take a swing on him and some of the other guys. And the quarterback question, Nate, I feel like this is just going to dominate the conversation like 3 weeks from now, because this is making the way into my group chats and everything. Like, what do you do? Do you take a Mendoza and keep Dart? Do you take a Mendoza and trade Dart? Do you keep Dart and not, and pass on Mendoza? And it's like, somebody's got to make that decision at some point, and you want to be able to trust that. You can't have Joe Shane make that decision and then like he is gone in a year. Like, that would just be another massive mistake.
And then the new coach is going, oh, great. Now we got, they might be 6-10, they're picking, or 6-11, they're picking ninth. And now they're out of quarterback range. Like, that's, they have a way of doing this Giants team. That's why the Dart selection, to me, and no offense to Jackson Dart and everything, I thought it was so crazy anyways. These guys are fighting for their jobs. You're moving up and now you're attached to this guy. And it's like, oh, all right. Might as well just go with Jameis, how the season went and everything. And Dart's injury stuff, the concussion stuff is worrisome to me. His play style is worrisome. He was not even operational against Flores, which it's a tough ask, but I talked about this more on Sunday, so if anyone wants to listen, but it's just the lack of growth in development has been worrisome to me, where I know he has great tools and I like the tools, but the play style's got to change. The operation from the pocket's got to change. He has to get better. And most rookies that maybe have underwhelming years, or just up and down years, there's just more hidden signs to what I think they can become. Trevor Lawrence in his rookie year, Caleb Williams in his rookie year, just guys, Drake May last year, just like, okay, they're doing this right, that all that. Dart's just flatlining. And I know Brian Dable's gone, but they still have Kafka. So I don't know. And I think the O-line's been decent. So it's just a little more worrisome. And just talking about process, I have Mendoza and Dante Moore graded higher than I had Dart last year. Dart to me was third.
Interesting. I was going to ask you. Yeah.
Dart to me, it was a late second, early third round. I had about four or five quarterbacks grouped in the same grouping. Tyler Shuck, Mendoza, Dart, Riley Leonard, because I'm the only guy that was high on Riley Leonard. He should be starting. I was at it. I almost got to see him start for the last month of the season, but Phil Rivers has been fun at least. But yeah. I had that kind of group together. So it was kind of like your quarterbacks get reached on and everything. Mendoza to me is a top 15 pick in any draft class. Is he what I call a purple chip, which is a number one pick in any class? No, but I think he's a nice, solid blue chip type quarterback, a guy that goes in the lottery of any draft. I've used this comparison a little bit more as I have him graded. They're not the same player, but graded similarly to CJ Stroud, where it's like, and Cam Ward actually would be another good comparison. A guy that is a good first round quarterback that if there's a premium guy, it might be the number two guy in a normal class, but in this type of class is the number one guy to me. Okay. So yeah, same with Moore a little bit. I have Moore maybe about quarter tier below that, but still as a top 20 guy, you know, but those are only two guys. It's a two quarterback class, and Moore might even go back to school. So it's slim pickings in this class. So I think Mendoza though is definitely graded higher. All right, we'll go on to my next one. I have quite a few, and I'm curious which one I want to get into here. I have the Dolphins QB resolution. I have the Raiders QB resolution.
Give me the Dolphins QB resolution.
I have the Jets QB resolution.
That's like one of the hardest ones. The Dolphins, I feel like, is one of the hardest ones. You know, you got to get creative potentially. So I'm curious to hear that one.
That is my whole name of the game in my notes here. So we'll go with the Dolphins. Yeah, QB resolution. They have a first, a second, and three third round picks in this class. Okay, I just mentioned it's a two quarterback class, it, one and a half with Dante Moore. The number one name that comes to mind is Mac Jones, but he's under contract for another year. Is Kyle Shanahan gonna break the cue stick, like the Joker style between Purdy and Mac Jones after next year? Because Purdy's contract is a little more movable after next year. Who knows? Doesn't a third rounder kind of feel fair for Mac Jones? What the Dolphins need? I don't know. To me, it does, and it is cost control and all that. I don't think Malik Willis is the obvious answer that most people do. I think he is interesting and he's talented, but it's a specific offense for him. And he's still developing as a passer. And I actually don't think this offense that requires a guy to be on time all the time is perfect for Willis. More of a creational guy or a creation guy. So Marcus Mariota free agency, or do we do the Kyler Murray? I don't know if I didn't really look at the cap stuff. He's owed $37 million guaranteed next year. It seems like they want to go Brissett. I think the Kyler is gone from the Cardinals, just reading tea leaves. Kyler's not a perfect fit in a Mike McDaniel offense, but he's kind of the antithesis of Tua. He throws a great deep ball. He creates a bunch, and he doesn't really throw over the middle. And Tua doesn't throw a deep ball, works nothing but over the middle, and can't create. So maybe they're just like, let's get the total opposite of what we have and see what that does for our offense and for our projections and everything. So again, this quarterback class isn't great. I think they have to get creative with a vet in some way, shape, or form. And I think they have some draft capital to do it. But the thing is, the interesting names aren't crazy, crazy interesting. So that's where I still think Kyler is the most interesting to me. Mac Jones is the one that makes the most sense. But Kyle Shanahan might say, like, piss off, like go sniff somewhere else, you know, like, so it's just like, there's no clean solution here. So I'm curious what you think too, but that's what I kind of came to. They have some draft capital to do this, but what name they maybe decide is really interesting to me.
Yeah. I've wondered if there's a Kyler to, we don't like our quarterback who we signed to a big contract. Probably the Dolphins are throwing in some type of draft capital, in that deal. But all right, here's one more for you, Nate, that I threw out on the Ringer NFL show. Okay. Can we Osweiler this to a contract? So can we, by that I mean the Dolphins are the team that attaches a pick to the Tua contract and says, someone take that off our books. But then you would say, well, Shield, they still need a quarterback if they do that. So who says no to this deal? Tua and a second round pick for Anthony Richardson. Does that make sense for either side? Because if you're the Colts, you're saying...
We're raising a room over here. I can't believe we roped an Anthony Richardson conversation in here, but let's go, Shield.
Yeah, but I know who I'm talking to. So if you're the Dolphins, you're saying, like you said, there's no perfect solution. Yep. We would love to get off this contract. Let's take a swing on somebody with some athletic tools. It might not work out, but that's okay. It's not working out now. We give up a second round pick, not ideal, but we need to get off that to a contract. So that makes sense from the Dolphins' perspective. If you're the Colts, you're going into next year. You don't know if Daniel Jones, first of all, Daniel Jones isn't under contract. So that's going to be a tricky one potentially to figure out. Is he healthy? You don't know. You obviously don't like Anthony Richardson. I mean, you literally just brought Philip Rivers out of retirement. Yeah. There are no signs you want anything to do with Anthony Richardson. You traded two firsts for Sauce Gardner. So you're short on draft capital. Yeah. You're not paying a quarterback big money. So you can actually afford to absorb the Tua contract. And I don't think either of us are big Tua fans, but if you're like, hey, if Shane Steichen did that with Daniel Jones, can he give us a competent year in Shane Steichen's offense with a good offensive line, with a good supporting cast? And you can actually get off the Tua contract after 2026. It's not that bad. So if it doesn't work out for a year, you're off of that. And now you got the second round pick, and maybe you still bring Daniel Jones back, but now it's like, we got a couple dart throws here where we're not sure on any of them. Who's saying no to that deal? What do you think?
I love it. I even loved how you broke down the Colts like draft capital that they have, because that's ever since they made the trade, everything's gone wrong for them, which is and when they made the trade, I was like, also just even team building philosophy, I wouldn't trade that much for a corner. It's always defense alignment to me that you trade that draft capital for. The Quinn and Williams one is what I don't know. That's a longer discussion, but it is one of those things where it was a heat check and it's still a wide open AFC. So I actually still kind of understood the aggression, even if I didn't totally love what they gave up and who they gave up. And Nady Mitchell is looking good for the Jets. The Colts receivers are good, so who cares? But I think that's a great kind of idea. Richardson, to me, with the Shanahan guy is like a certain type. And that's what's so hard. It's like certain guys, and Richardson is not that. But that's the thing is, well, we saw what your type gets us, you know, or at least what you think maybe this type of offense gets us. Let's go for the opposite. Let's go for something that, yeah, we can structure this run game to be creative. Now we got a quarterback that can run. So now we drop that little element in there. And then now Richardson focuses on deep balls and the big plays that you can get to, because we just take off the RPOs. That's what they have to build the offense out of RPOs because of Tua's arm strength and how Tua plays. He's just very quick. Everything has to be 2 seconds. They need something to add a ceiling raiser to this, and a guy that can maybe play in cold weather. but also, it's not, now you get into a thing where it's now you're adding another injured player to a team that just seems to have nothing but injured players. But maybe Richardson gets back to Florida. Maybe that helps him out. You never know. Sometimes guys get back to Florida or Texas, and they just all of a sudden they're like, yeah, this is all great. Like, you never know. Some of these guys like their home cooking. Yeah. No, I like that. Because I think the sum of the too long didn't read of this is they have to get creative. And I think the Richardson creativity is actually one I can get behind. And I'll just always bring up Tanner McKee, because I think he's the guy that every team that has an open seat and looks at this quarterback class, I think they should be throwing more draft capital than I think if he does get traded, it's going to be more than people are going to be. Everyone's going to be like, what? But it's like, yeah, markets work this way. If you have a pulse at quarterback, Kenny Pickett got traded for twice this offseason. Kenny Pickett cannot play NFL quarterback. And I'm so sorry. And I've been saying this for 4 years now. He got traded for twice in one offseason. So anyone with some pulse and someone's a talent is going to go way higher than you think. So yeah, I like this. And talking about the Dolphins, trying to figure out what they do. They're an interesting team, man. I have no idea what they do.
It's fun. We'll see what they do.
All right, we're going to take our last break, and then we'll come back with another team, another wish list item. See you guys in a sec. We are back. Shiel, one last team for you. I'll probably have a couple at the end that we'll throw out there, but what's your last team here that you want to talk about, wish list item for teams out of playoff contention?
Let's go with the Vikings. I had a couple here, but let's go, because I think the Vikings, it's pretty simple. You and I talked about the Vikings when you were on the Ringer NFL show with me, that you don't just go into next year with JJ McCarthy as your quarterback. And since then, he's played better. There's no doubt about it. But I think for them, it's you got to find a quarterback too. That is like number one on their list. Your version of Daniel Jones or Jacoby Brissett. But like, that's easy for me to say. They're like, all right, well, how would Shiel, would you like us to find that person? To your point just now with the Dolphins discussion, it's not easy to find. I actually wrote them down for Tanner McKee. Like, would they be willing to really give something up for Tanner McKee and say, let's take a look. We got a lot of good pieces on this team. And he's an interesting quarterback in this system. Or are you a Spencer Rattler guy? I forget.
I like him. I'm fine with
okay.
him.
Okay. Is he another guy who belongs on this?
I actually have some special route where Tyler Shuck stats, actually, when okay. we talked about the Saints. So, funnily enough, that I like yeah. that, though. That as far as kind yeah. of like a dart throw, like right. from what the Vikings, he's shown more to me than McCarthy has. So, yeah, that and they're the same class. So yeah. yes, but yes, that, to cut
so
you off,
I think
yes.
they got to look for someone like that. And it's not easy. Like, is there a backup around the league that you like, that you're willing to give up something for, because you just want another option, you know, in case JJ McCarthy doesn't have it, in case he gets injured. I mean, he's had already what, 4 injuries here,
yes.
and he's barely played. And I know that's out of his control and there's a randomness to it, but still it's something you have to account for, because I didn't realize, I'll be honest, until I looked at the standings prepping for this, I'm like, the Vikings are 7-8 this year.
Yeah.
With a bottom 5 offense in the NFL by any statistical measure. Like, I don't know that people realize how hard that is to do when your offense is that bad, to still be hovering around 500. So yep. to me, it's almost like, man, this turned out to be like a kind of an impressive coaching season. And a lot of yeah. that's Brian Flores on the defensive side of the ball. Hopefully you can still, well, not hopefully for him, I'm sure he would like a head coaching job, but if he doesn't get one, your defense is in good shape. Kevin O'Connell is still a very good coach. You still have a lot of good pieces on, like, it's still a good roster. You're just in this spot where you can't have another year where you're getting bad quarterback play yeah. and it torpedoes everything. So they got to decide which of these quarterbacks are available. What's the price for them? And then who do we want to go after to say, all right, this person and JJ McCarthy going into training camp?
I think they absolutely have to add a body in there. Richardson is another one. I know there's been plenty of memes of KOC hugging Richardson. And
all right, he whispered to him.
Yeah,
that was my favorite thing last year. He's not whispering to quarterbacks this year after games.
No,
is he?
No. He's not blaming organizations for failing quarterbacks anymore. That line has been dropped. That line has been dropped by this team. No, what you just mentioned, though, the record for the Vikings, that was my theory about them being a playoff team this year. It was that they just need the quarterback to be 22nd. QB 22, and this is a playoff team, because I like the defense, what they added to the trenches, and I liked and what they did to the O-line in the run game. Saw parts of that, but the problem is the quarterback's been 32 or 29th, 30th, you know, a bottom 5 guy, and that's been the issue. But that was kind of my theory on all this. But yeah, they got to add a body there. The Richardson one was the one that's always been in my mind just because of the memes off of it. But McKee would be amazing if they could pull off McKee. And this is, we talked about this on the Ringer show, was that this is an aggressive franchise. Like, they're not going to just stand pat. So they could do any path. They might bring Rodgers in finally, you yeah. know, after that, like, playing, you know, footsie with him last year.
Right.
I don't know if they do it now, but who knows? But it's just, they're not going to stand pat. Like, they're going to do something. And I'm just curious what it goes about. It's just, the injury stuff is very real. That was my concern with, one of my concerns with McCarthy was that he was slight build. I brought up the weight stuff when breaking him down, him and Jane Daniels, who have both been, you know, susceptible to injuries as a pro. So that's just a very real thing. The ball's got to get out quicker, and you see the moments where he is comfortable with stuff, but there's just so much that's lagging still, even if there is a positive performance. But my Rattler stat, it's comparison. If we talked about the Saints, I had this because Saints yeah. need a pass rusher, but I just wanted to break down because there's a lot of Tyler Shuck love. I like Tyler Shuck. I think he's been fine. But I also think there was a hit job on Spencer Rattler earlier. Do you remember that game when he got benched for Shuck? It was a bad game. So okay. Jonathan Vilma was on the call. And as soon as Rattler made one mistake, and it was like the first quarter, Vilma's like, he's got to get benched. This is why they need a bench.
Oh, I do just, remember that.
Just
yeah.
went off on him about how he yeah. needs to be benched. And Rattler had been playing fine. And I was like, well, that's yeah. weird. And then sure enough, yeah. he gets benched like a quarter later. I was like, production meetings. They told you. Yeah, they told you they're going to shut. Gotcha. You don't just say that. So yeah. I looked. All right, 34 quarterbacks this year that had 200 or more pass attempts. QBA, 44.5% success rate, which ranks 18th. QBB, 44.6% success rate, which ranks 17th. Okay. EPA yeah. per play, QBA ranks 30th. QBB ranks 31st. Okay. Adjusted net yards per attempt, QBA, 29th. QBB, 27th. QB rating, literally the same, 86.5 for both of these quarterbacks. Yeah. Similar air yards per attempt, similar scramble rate. One is more successful than the other. Similar TD to interception ratios. We'll get to other parts. The point is, QBA is Spencer Rattler. QBB is Tyler Shuck. They've been literally almost identical stat-wise this entire season. I do think both have had moments. I think Rattler wasn't very explosive. He was a little safer than what his arm talent shows. Yeah. And I think Shuck's been willing to kind of push it a little bit more. That's been the big difference to me. I thought Rattler was better at avoiding sacks and maybe getting the ball out a little quicker. The stats bear that out as well. Rattler is 16th in pressure to sack rate. Shuck is dead last, 34th in pressure to sack rate. He's 26th in sack rate. Rattler is 19th. But the explosive play percentage, Shuck's got about 4% more in passes. So that's the big difference to me. But what I'm just saying is that like Rattler was fine. I actually thought that no matter what they want a day two, day three quarterback, it was that with that contract, you should try and make this guy work because that can really help out and breathe some life or at least give you another year to maybe assess everything. So long story short, I do think he's a valid name for some of these teams that are looking for quarterback to maybe just take a chance at and throw a dart at.
Yeah, we're such nerds. I had the same stats pulled up where they're literally, you pull them up and they're right next to each other, no matter how you sort it in every single thing. It's like, wait a minute, Shuck's getting a lot of love. And yeah, I felt watching Rattler where there would be, it's like, he looks like he knows what he's doing. Yep. He's pretty accurate. It just, they couldn't create an explosive play. And that's always hard to know. All right, is it Rattler? Is he leaving stuff on the field? Is it the way they're calling the game? Are they coaching him? Hey, don't take chances. If so you never really know, but yeah, they couldn't create any. That was the issue with the offense. It wasn't like the down to down passing game at times. Like it didn't look great, but it looked like mediocre. It looked competent at times. So that's why I looked at it. And I'm not, you know, the Rattler hive or whatever, but I was just like, all right, I can kind of see what people like out of him. So yeah, he would be a guy if you're just like, we need to buy some time, take a dart throw, might not cost a lot. He's on a rookie contract that, you know, you're trying to, I think those guys, if you're like a front office, those are kind of the guys you have to try to identify because you're not like, it's not just like, oh, let's go pay this guy $50 million. Those guys aren't on the market. They're not available via trade. Like you said, there's two guys in the draft. So now you're talking about if you're not a top five pick, you're what, going to give up draft capital? You probably don't want to do that. So you have to get creative. I think looking at backup options who could maybe buy you time and give you competent quarterback play while you find a longer term solution with a higher ceiling, that's kind of the route you have to go.
Absolutely. It's a stopgap plus.
Right.
It's like that's kind of how you look at it. Stopgap with a chance for more. But I think I think Rattler can get you league, replacement level, league average, however you want to put it, average play at the position, 16th or 22nd, somewhere like that. And if you're the Vikings that have such a vet roster, I don't know, that's not the worst thing to me. And he's on a rookie quarterback contract, a day three rookie quarterback contract for a team that's what, like 40 million over the cap, 30 million over the cap. I know there's creativity that happens with it, but I don't know. That makes a lot of sense. I'm glad you kind of brought up Rattler with that too. All right, I'll go on to my last one. There's a couple I could just say. The quarterback, just lose. Raiders, just lose, baby. They need a QB of the few. They haven't drafted a first-round quarterback since Jamarcus Russell. I actually didn't even realize that. The last day two quarterback was Derek Carr in 2014 because Aiden O'Connell was a fourth-rounder. You need a quarterback of the future. They need to be a top two pick. Pete might be one and done. They need to improve their O-line drastically, but he's not going to fire his son at O-line coach. So you need to bring somebody else in to just make the offense functional. Because I actually think weapons-wise, they have okay. Bowers. I like Trey Tucker as a secondary guy. And then obviously Ash and Jenty. They need a receiver. Need offensive lineman. Need a quarterback. There's a lot of wish lists in Vegas right now. But they just need a lot of stuff. New play caller, potentially a new head coach, like I said, a new run game coordinator to maybe help out Pete's son if they keep Pete Carroll along. They have money now. They have private equity money. This isn't the broke boy Mark Davis of Oakland. They have a lot of private equity money, and they have Tom Brady that's trying to like make his imprint on the team. And the GM is more of a Brady guy, spy tech and everything. So it's the Raiders. There's a lot they need to clean up, but they're just one that's just kind of curious to me because it's just like, I want them to stop being so aimless. have a goal in mind for what they want to be.
I know. I don't think Pete Carroll's guy. I'm a fan of Pete Carroll, his career, but I don't think he's returning next year. And, the Myles Garrett thing I said earlier, I've had the same thought with Max Crosby. I know he wants to be there, but it's just like, they don't have a lot of chips. And their roster is just in bad, bad shape. Yeah. I even wondered, now this is, I don't think you want to do this, but I was like, if Brock Bowers were available, I mean, he's so good. Like the best tight end, you know, the best tight end in the NFL in his prime on a rookie contract. What could that potentially get you in a trade? Again, I'm normally not in the business of giveaway, you know, trade those types of players. Yeah. Like if you hit on a draft pick, build around them. But just as a thought exercise, if you're like, man, we have holes all over the roster. We got to think outside the box. That was a thought I had in mind too. Like one of these contending teams, you know, like if the Chiefs are like, wait, we can trade. Now I know the Raiders and Chiefs wouldn't trade with each other probably, but a team like that, if they're like, we could add Brock Bowers this offseason, man, we'll give up. They might give up something crazy for him. I don't know.
Right. Well, at least a first and a day two, like a couple of day two picks, you know, or a player swap of some sort, you know, that
it's probably not worth it for the Raiders, but yeah, they got to think that way.
Now you got my brain kicking around. I was like, what team could do that? Like, because now I'm thinking of the backup quarterbacks that you can maybe drop in there as kind of the trade chip coming back. Yeah. I don't know. It's that's the situation that they're in, though. It's like they could go any path because they need any path that makes sense because they need so much that they can address that position. The kind of keeping with this need be a top two pick is the Jets. They need one of these two guys. I think Mendoza would be amazing for them. Just
I love just it. Let's get him to the Jets.
He has to go to the Jets because he's such a high floor, not just a player, but a person. And he's professional. And think of the quarterbacks the Jets have drafted in the first round recently. Zach Wilson, barely played at BYU, more project-y than people realize. Sam Darnold, redshirt sophomore from USC, but was rawer than people think. I really like Darnold coming out. That wasn't high on Zach Wilson. Mark Sanchez back in the day. Sanchez barely played at USC. That was like a big deal. I think he was only a one-year starter at USC. But a lot of guys that started, now you're in New York as the main guy. Mendoza has shown, some people make fun of him for it, but he's like a kid that is always prepared for the book report. Like he is going to be professional. And he's a high floor player that has a little more ceiling than people realize. I just think for a team that just needs professionalism, needs a breath of fresh air, and stop chasing sexy and high-end stuff and build up your freaking floor, you know, like that. And I think Mendoza would really do that. And I like the young offensive line they have. I think Membaugh was a hit at right tackle. They have a couple other interesting guys. I like Olufoshanu's stats aren't great, but I still think he's a quality left tackle, young left tackle. They need to change their defensive structure. Aaron Glenn, way too much man coverage with no corners. They have no interceptions. I understand all that. But man, I think if you get a Mendoza who, and even the receivers they have, Garrett Wilson when he's healthy, and then now A.D. Mitchell, a little loosey as route runners. Mendoza, again, is so high floor and so consistent that kind of has synergy. You don't want a chaotic quarterback with a chaotic receiver. That's what can turn out, like the Ravens can look like that sometimes with Flowers and stuff. And it's just Mark Andrews. It's like, yeah. You want maybe that quarterback that's just so structured, he can make those guys look more structured. So I don't know. I think the Jets on offense have more to them, and I just really like Mendoza with them. So I just wanted to throw that in maybe a little quick Jets discussion if you have any thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like a casual college football fan during the season. So I had watched Mendoza, but then in that Big Ten title game, the interview after was the first time I'd ever heard him. And he was getting made fun of. And then I got kind of obsessed. Like anytime there was a clip of him talking and I'm like, I kind of like this guy. He's a huge nerd. Who cares? Like, since when is that?
But he's confident with it. He's like, this is who I am. And there's
he's authentic. Yes.
People authentic. In the locker room don't care. Like if you're tough and you win football games, they don't care how you are. They do not care. Yeah. Sorry.
For content, I think that would be a lot of fun to have his nerdiness with the Jets. And I'm with you. It's not the worst, you know, you could be thrown into a worse situation than the Jets as a rookie quarterback when you just look at their offense. So yeah, I have my eye on Mendoza here over the next few weeks, month, however long Indiana stays alive. I'm just going to consume all the Mendoza content. And then by the time we get to draft season, I'm either going to be like, all right, that I grew tired of that. Or I'm going to be like, I love this guy. I'm in on this guy.
My high end comp for him is Matt Ryan. Like that is like, I think the ceiling that he can maybe get to. And think of when Matt Ryan was drafted with the Falcons, post Vic, post Petrino, chaos, mess of a franchise. And then you just get a guy that's like, was thought of as high floor, how good he actually is. Turns out he had more to him as a pro. Got dropped into they had a Veto line. Of course, they had Roddy White at the time and everything, a quality running game, because I think they had Michael Turner. Breece Hall's still on this roster. We'll see. We'll see with that. But Braylon Allen, if he comes back healthy, it's just one of those guys where it's like, it's someone that just steadies everybody else is really can really help out, just not just the offense, the whole franchise that just always just feels so scatterbrained and everything. And I mentioned this in the thoughtfulness of Mendoza was I wrote about him in May when he was my QB1. And when I was writing about him, I came across a clip and I talked about this with Dane where it was Indiana posted it. And it was like, why did you come to Indiana? Why did you come to Bloomington? And it wasn't like him going like, oh, you know, the professors I met with and the campus and everything. He was like, no, I want to work with Kurt Cignetti because if you look at the quarterbacks that he's worked with before, how productive they've been, how many games they won. And I was like, this guy gets it. Like this guy, and his brother was there too. So that helps as well. But it's also just like, I don't know, like he was name dropping these guys from Jay Madison and Curtis Rourke and all that. And I don't know. I was like, this guy's thoughtful and kind of gets football. And if you watch him perform and stuff, so. I don't know. I just like him for the Jets more than any other team. Raiders, I guess, could be included in this as well. But I just think his personality matches with that team more than people would think. So, yeah.
Also a great clip of him just naming songs that he likes. I don't know if you saw that one. But
no, I didn't.
I mean, that one also songs? Came across my Instagram. I don't remember. He was just going all over the place. But I'm like, this guy's hilarious, man. He's good for content. Mendoza's going to be good for content for us, for wherever he lands. He's not a boring guy. That personality is going to play one way or the other.
There is some cousins to him, Kirk Cousins, where it's like, this is – inadvertently entertaining. He had a clip where they were talking about him like reading something and he just like inadvertently like bashed the other team, but he was just like, oh, and we knew we got him because this guy is like a sucker for that. It was like one of these things where it's like he wasn't trying to like talk crap. He just he loves ball. He just loves ball. And I there's something to that. You know, the other teams that we didn't get to, you had something maybe on the Commanders. I had also the Bengals, which to me was just like, all right, let's merge this offense. I know we can talk about defense, but let's merge what Burrow wants and what the rest of the offense does, which means more under center. And then also I had, you know, Falcons, secondary pass catchers, Cardinals, get new offensive line coach, all offensive line talent, yada, yada. Yeah. Did you one thought on the Commanders?
I know Commanders is just get that. Younger. I think we all know we knew going into the season, like this is a risk. There's a lot of old players here. So got to hit the reset button. I actually, you know, I don't think they're in a horrible spot. I think their O-line is, you know, they're actually kind of set on their O-line. Yeah. I still like Daniels. You're not going to be able to answer. Can Daniels stay healthy or not? I mean, you can scheme stuff around. I still think if he's healthy,
but you got to roll.
He can be good.
Because the highs are worth it. Like you got to roll. Yeah. That's
and even this year, they're ninth in offensive success rate. Like that's a nice, like the scheme has continued to work here. So it's kind of like the Chiefs add some juice to the offense. And, you know, and I think Dan Quinn needs to go scour the earth for a good defensive coach, because I thought Jim Schwartz for them would be a great option. You know, just you need someone who can just take the floor higher. So, I think that's the defensive coach, get younger and add some juice to the offense.
Love that. Yeah, they need another outside guy, outside Terry. That's the one that Matt Harmon and I talk about that all the time. This offense needs outside ball winners. Terry's perfect for it, but how Cliff works, there's a lot that has to happen on the outside. They take those ISO ball situations. Jane Daniels loves throwing those. So that's to me is like, that's the pass catcher they need. And I think there's some guys in the draft they can get on day two that would be interesting. I know they don't have all their picks, but I think they can get maybe a guy there. But I agree with the offensive line assessment. I think Bobby Johnson, their O-line coach, is good. And I think Connerly really came along in the second half of the year, their first-round pick. Tunsil had a nice kind of like refresh year. You know, he still had some moments, but good year. I agree with you. I think they have more to it on offense than you would think. Whew, they need some linebackers. they need some defenders, and they need some pass rush, and they need, I agree. They're a little long in the tooth on that team, so I agree with that one as well. They're another interesting team. They could go in a lot of different directions this offseason and have to answer a lot of stuff with their roster as well. The Falcons are just – my Falcons thing was, we're good with this? Question mark. That's always the need more defensive players, need a secondary pass catchers, need offensive line guy bodies soon. Like, Falcons, not – and don't have a first round pick.
I mean, oh, that trade killed me. I've gotten a lot of stuff wrong, but just going all in on how are you trading this pick right now? You look at their last, 5 years, you've gotten four picks in the top eight that you've used on offensive players that have not been linemen, any of them. And you paid a quarterback $100 million and you have like a what, a bottom eight offense? It's just like, it's time for some changes. Again, I don't like to just say everyone should be fired, but come on. I mean, yeah, that there's been a long enough leash there where it's time to find someone else to try something else there, it feels like.
It's something's got to, yeah. I would say the most impressive thing to me, the Falcons here, other than Bijan being just amazing, Pitts having a nice year as well, is Jeff Ulbrich's third down designs. It's a very niche thing, but that is like, but that the Falcons this year got the most they could out of their defense. It's an incomplete defense and everything, but that's what was so disappointing. It was the offense, which was had potential to be a locked in top 10 offense with a locked in top 3-4 run game. And it's just been so not that, whether it was Penix or Cousins in there. Raheem makes way too many clock management botches than now for a couple of years now. That's really frustrating to me to watch. They're cap strapped. They're a weird team, man. I got Charles McDonald on the show all the time. It's always the weekly check-ins about the Falcons has been a highlight of this show. And And then the Cardinals to me, man, it's just the O-line coach thing was the O-line stuff. I overlooked losing Clayton Adams. And I thought that you could just keep churning. It was the offensive system. Kyler obviously was disappointing this year. Marvin Harrison Jr. has been disappointing at some parts. I do still think he's very good. It's just that this has not been the offensive flow and the quarterback for him. Is that the guy they package Kyler and Marvin Harrison Jr. together to get something? No, I'm kidding. They need Michael Wilson's been a revelation, always underrated player, but a speed demon on day two at receiver that could help them out a lot too. But yeah, I had to get a Cardinals talking. It's been a while for me, but they were really a disappointing team for me this year. And I think for a lot of people, so me more than most people, I'll just keep harping my Seahawks takes as opposed to my Cardinals takes.
I know. Listen, it really has been, I know we're nearing the end. It has been one of the weirdest years I can remember just in terms of how, what you think in the offseason, what you think in the preseason. I just did a, radio hit with my Seattle friend yesterday where they're like, Shield, this is what you said about their offseason. I'm like, oh my, you're playing playing this now. I'm like, I did say their defense was going to be the best in the NFL, but there's like all these things. It's been fun. And I think it's going to be like, I watched that Rams Seahawks game last week and I'm like, I think this is a preview of the playoffs are just going to be like, don't tweet in the third quarter. Don't tweet with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I just feel like these teams are all packed together where one turnover, one good game plan, one quarterback going on a heater could lead to just the wildest Super Bowl matchup that no one predicted. So it's fun. I don't like having these years every year, but I like them getting mixed in with our Chiefs Eagles again. That's kind of boring. So this is going to be, I think it's going to be a fun playoffs.
I totally with you. I keep saying about the AFC, but I'm saying the NFC too. Like the Rams to me are the best team in the NFL, but they're gettable. I mean, that's the thing is we just watched them fail at special teams. You could run on them. Like you could pass on them too. Watch what the Lions did. And then I think the Seahawks are amazing on defense. Great special teams. Puka Nacua torched them. It's not all these teams are gettable. Broncos defense is gettable. Texans defense, you can run on them a little bit, and their offensive line's not. It's just every team. There's not like these three supernova teams that were kind of like, all right, who's the fourth team in the final four? It's like, no, I truly any team can make a run. Just got to make the dance. So we're speaking the same language. I'm actually kind of glad you said that.
I mean, the next 10 years, will there be another playoffs without Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow?
Doubt it.
Probably not, right? I mean, there might be maybe one, but this is a rarity for sure.
It absolutely is. Yeah. No, it's not a rarity, hopefully anymore, is you coming on the show, Shiel. That was a lot of fun. I hope I get you back maybe sometime draft season. Maybe we'll get some free agency talk. Maybe that's where we'll find an angle for you. No, but Shiel, thank you so much for joining me. This was a ton of fun. Where can we find you? Where can we find all your good stuff?
Yeah,
listeners find you?
Yeah, there you go. Ringer NFL show. And if you're an Eagles fan or an Eagles hater and want to hear when they lose, we got the Ringers Philly special as well. So always fun talking to you, my friend. Let's do it again soon.
Always fun. Hey, any more discussions on the passing game? Kevin Petullo, Jalen Hurts, you want to talk about that? No. I did.
Thank you for not bringing it up. Yes.
I did a green light show, Chris Long show, but I was with Bo Allen. And I started talking about the Eagles, and all of them were like, like, can we talk about any other team? Yes. We talk a lot about the Eagles. And I was like, oh, yeah.
That's how I am. Your
heart rate turned. So I get it. But we're closing it out today. Again, thanks to Sheila for joining me. This was a ton of fun. I'll be back on Thursday with a solo show, Christmas Day. Just some quick reactions about the Christmas Day games. We didn't preview them today. It's not the fall of the NFL. Just like you said, it was a chaotic season. Trying to predict what these important matchups are going to be 6 months before, 9 months before is a little impossible, especially with this season, but she'll still be a fun day. So make sure to check that out after we post it. I'm Nate Tice. You can find me at Nate_Tice. That's Sheila Kapadia. You can find him at Sheila Kapadia on social media. Subscribe to us, follow us, rate us 5 stars wherever you get your podcasts. Pretty please. Leave some reviews in there and comments. I love seeing those. Watch us on YouTube, on the Yahoo Sports YouTube channel. Make sure to like and subscribe there. Thanks to Stone, Austin, and Madison behind the scenes for making us look and sound good. Also, happy holidays and Merry Christmas to all of our listeners, to everybody that works on the show. Thank you so much for listening and taking the time to listen to us. Hopefully, this XXL episode with Sheil gets you through some travel. But thank you again to everybody. Thank you all for listening. See you guys next time.